Hi everyone, it's Felicity Brown and Samantha Ng, who are your Season 5 Career Journey APCDA podcast co-hosts. And today we are talking with Akshay Sharma. Akshay's a really interesting individual. He comes from India. He has made a life in Vietnam, which is where I first met him. He's been in Vietnam for now 12 years. Akshay started with a pretty traditional type of career. He studied a Bachelor of Electrical, Electronics and Communications Engineering. And in this podcast, he talks a lot about his career journey from India to Vietnam and all the things he's done in the last 12 years since then, and some terrific advice also for students as well, and a bit of personal philosophy into the bargain as well. Sam, what were the things that he talked about that most resonated with you?
There's one thing that he mentioned about AI, like why ChatGPT or all our AIs are so strong right now is because they basically learn from all our past experiences, which he was driving at is there's no such thing as failure. We are constantly learning. There's no failure. There's always learning. It's just learning. So that's something that strikes me a lot when it comes to tech and being human as well. And that's also something to distinguish us in terms to stand out, building depth in our character is being able to have the resilience to bounce back from failure. So that really strikes me. How about yourself?
Yeah. I mean, he's just such an accomplished guy. Clearly, just learning is part of his genetics. He's talked about with his father, his grandfather, and he's learned so much. And I'm sure he's going to go on and do even more amazing things. Of course, I love the stuff about working abroad. He was so determined to go and work abroad somewhere. And it took more than 10 times for him. He had all these failures, as he called them. I would like to not say failures more, just not successful that time. The right opportunity finally came up for him in Vietnam. He gave up a comfortable existence, a great graduate job, to go into the unknown. So I really love this, really talking about working abroad and then talking about when learning things, just do it, just jump in the water and you'll learn how to do it. So I really like that personal philosophy too. Anyway, so our listeners, our watchers, I hope you enjoy this discussion that we have with Akshay, and keep an eye out for our future podcasts. So Akshay, we're really interested in who you are as a person deep down. What fascinates you? What drives you?
Yeah, so my name is Akshay. I come from India. I've been in Vietnam for almost 12 years. I came here in 2013 and I was just out of college at that time. Like 2013, I finished, graduated, and I was like, okay, let's take a kind of like a new role in a new country. And then throughout the 12 years, like what I learned about me, myself is also I like to take like difficult problems, like difficult challenges, and try to find good solutions. Some things which are like technical, because that is my domain of expertise, but I try to tackle very difficult challenges and I love to do that. And then over time, doing several ventures and startups, I realized that I'm also someone who is like a free spirit. I would love to help more people because I know that I only have less time. I only have, let's say, 70 years or 75 years on Earth. And I would like to take more challenges, like more and more domains I would like to experience and I would like to give my support to. And so that's what I am. Like I'm a free spirit who likes to solve challenging problems and I love them. And we will see that like during each decision of my life, they have been come through. Hey, that's very challenging. Okay, let's find the solution to that. Yeah.
Fantastic. So tell us what you're working on right now and the sorts of problems that you're solving.
Yeah, so I'm the CTO and co-founder of Huzing. It's a PropTech startup in Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam. And we help people with finding real estate for rent, for sale. And we have an online platform. We have a website where customers can look for it. But we also have apps for agents. So agents and agencies can use our platform to list their listings, manage their properties, manage their teams. So it's a PropTech startup. And that's my core business. I also do a little bit of machine learning and AI consultancy and software development for some companies. So if someone is like requesting, hey, can you tell me a little bit more? How should I implement AI into my daily job or into my company, into my product? I would consult, and in case they want to develop it, I will support them with that development as well. So
Interesting.
those are things. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, please go ahead if you.
No, that's okay. That's good.
Okay. Now I'm really curious, like, how do you get started in Vietnam? Because previously you were fresh out from college from India,
Yeah.
and why Vietnam? How do you get there?
That's a very good question. Like, it's also very interesting. So actually in India, I was a part of an organization called ISEC. Maybe you have heard of it. It's youth-run, youth-led organization. It was formed after 1947 World War, and it was for exchange and peace in the world. So I joined that organization in India. I did 3 years of that along with my university. And then after university, I had options like either to work with some corporates that I got placed in India as an engineer, or just go to another country and try to do some new role, which is like non-technical. Like, it was more of a management role. Like, in Europe, they have Erasmus, like for student exchange between different countries. So this one is also present in 110 countries. And actually, Vietnam was not my first choice. I actually applied for other countries, Indonesia, Egypt. And so it's like lucky that 2013, someone here, the president here, liked my application, liked my plan for Vietnam, and selected me. And he's my best friend till date in Vietnam as well. And of course, we're building good businesses here. But yeah, it was quite like a stroke of luck that I landed in Vietnam after India. But sticking to my ideology that I would like to take like a more challenging job than taking a desk job in India and developing code for someone, I felt that was a little bit not me. And so I came here. And quite interesting, because like the stipend they give is very less. It's $200 or something, right? And you have to survive. You have to have your rent and food and internet and bike, and it's impossible. However, like as a student, you can still manage. And during that time, I learned a lot about Vietnam, Vietnamese people. I traveled to Hanoi, Da Nang multiple times, and I met the team, met the people over there, and I see they are so entrepreneurial. They have so many good ideas. So yeah, I stuck with the country because it has so much potential.
And Isaac, I always thought of it more like for business students, but you're more a computing student, right?
Yeah, correct. Like, they have a lot of programs for business, mostly because it's marketing, sales. You package an internship program, you go to universities, you try to convince students to go. So I actually learned a lot about business from ISEC, because I don't have a business major. I don't have an MBA, but I learned about practical packaging of internship product. And what I believed was, like, if I can convince like a father to send his daughter to Kenya for internship, actually, I can sell anything in the world, because that is the most difficult thing. You are convincing the most like precious thing in their life to send to a place where they should have some security or support, right? So for me, if I could do that, I felt that it's easy to sell, and it's easy to for me, and also to package and to market a good adventure. Also, I learned a lot about developing skills when you are doing an internship, because like when you are pushed into a new country, like when I came to Vietnam, you don't know the language, you don't know the culture, you don't know anything, right? So you're cut off. Like, you have this security that, oh, I have my friends, I have my family, I have money, I have language, I have food, I love my food. All of these are like cut off from you, right? So you are alone. And so now, whatever mistakes you make, it's your mistakes, and you need to handle yourself. You need to learn how to stand up again, and you need to learn how to move. And I think that is the most powerful thing I learned for myself, doing it myself and sending people abroad also.
Yeah. And then you finished that internship. And then did you just stay on, or did you head back to India for a while?
Yeah. So after that, I got some opportunities. So I worked with as an evangelist for Intel's program. So Intel had like many electronic boards. They are like Arduino boards, make anything board. Like, it's a maker board, and you can make smart houses, smart cars, and many projects like that. So electronics and software is involved, which was my interest. And then I also had to do and be an evangelist for it. So business was involved. So partnering with Microsoft, Uber, and other companies to advocate this kind of STEM and smart projects in Vietnam. So I landed up in something that I love, right? It was like electronics, software, plus business. And so I did that for 1 year, and then I went on a trip with some of the alumnus of ISEC who were like 2, 3 years older than me in Vietnam, and they were quite good in different domains. And so one of them was my co-founder, who was in real estate, and he was like a real estate agent, and he was doing very good stuff. And he was telling me about problems. Like he was telling, hey, actually, like foreigners come to Vietnam, it's so difficult for them to find good places because no real information and everything is fake. And they even sometimes get cheated because like they go, they deposit the money, the next day the landlord is gone, the agent is gone. We had a discussion and our solution was like, just make an honest website, show pictures, show 360. At that time, 360 did not exist. So that was one of the moat for our platform. Okay, we will show the full apartment, every room, so that there's no scam, like there is, it's real, and then we will deliver an exceptional good service. And we started with that and people loved it, and so the first 5, 6 years of Hoozing was like really amazing. We grew and we were one of the top prop tech startups in Vietnam.
And still there to this day, right?
Yeah, we're still there. It still exists. And we're like, the real estate market's a little bit slow. So it's gradually picking up. After COVID, like it had a very big dip and we had one of 2 years of big struggle, but we revamped the company. We pivoted to more software based and not recruiting our own teams. Before, we had more like a Compass, Redfin kind of model, realtor kind of model. And now we moved more into a software based company. So people use our software and they can list, they can find options. And that kind of growth strategy is good for this period when the market is a little bit slow. But once it starts picking up, new projects comes in, then I think the company can pick up again.
Yeah. And I'm interested in your work with the prosthetics that you used to be involved with previously. Could you share a bit about that?
Yeah, so in 2018, I also started another company, which was Augmetics, and it was with another co-founder, amazing person from England. We started, I actually wanted to work on this project because it was giving back to Vietnam. So like I saw that, oh, people without hands and limbs are walking around and there's no affordable option. Like we cannot have $100,000 prosthetic being sold to people in Vietnam. It's so expensive. And for me, I come from a robotics, electronics background in university, and I know that I can build these hands by myself. 3D printing is picking up at that time. 3D printers are more commercially available, and we can actually build it. We can print it and design it, and electronics and software, I can build it. So I started as a side project, but within 2 years, it grew up, and we built the electronics team and the software team, mechanical team, manufacturing. And we built 9 prototypes and we experimented with some of the initial customers and they gave feedback. And then we built a lightweight, good modular prosthetic and people loved it. And we could bring down the cost. Like we could bring it until $2,000. And it's a fully modular robotic arm, right? Like it's not fake, it's not cosmetic, and people can actually do work with it. And so that was the very passion project. I loved it. But during 2020, I had to like focus on one thing because both the companies were growing quickly. So the passion project became into a very big project. It became a company. And so I took a kind of a sabbatical and the team continued and they are still doing very good. I still advise them. I still support them with some machine learning and AI and how to make the sensors better. And that Vulcan is right now in like more than 13 countries. They are providing robotic arms to like all the countries in the world, especially the war-ridden countries. They have so many people who are suffering. And so we provide affordable prosthetics to everyone. And yeah, quite proud. Every day I see a story of some mom holding a kid's hand again, or some husband being able to hold his wife's hand again. I think it's quite motivating for me.
Definitely. And it sounds like you have so much on your plate, and it also sounds like you know exactly what you are embarking on so way in advance. I'm just curious, were you like this all along as a child? Do you know what you wanted to do? What were any interests or activities that shape who you are today?
Yeah, that's a very deep question. But thank you. Thank you, Sam, for that. Yeah, actually, my background is from India, right? And in India, education system is, it pushes you to be the best, but necessarily you cannot learn everything. So I was a very inquisitive child. I loved programming. When I was 5 years old, my dad brought me a computer. So in 1995, he already put a desk computer on my house, in my room. And he used to use DOS, like MS-DOS at that time, it used to be there. And I was a kid. I was a 5-year-old kid just running around the house. But I used to see how he types commands, right? Like he writes CD and then he writes the name of the folder and stuff like that. And so I, as a kid, wanted to play a game and I know where the game is, but then I just saw what my dad used to type. And then one day he came back home and I was playing a game. I said, "How did you turn on the computer? How did you write the commands? How did you go there?" And I remembered everything. So he decided, okay, let's get this guy to study more. And so I think by 7 or 8, I was already learning C, C++. And so that's very, I think, my motivation. Like I loved programming. I loved coding. And my parents picked up on that, gave me the right opportunities at the right time. I think computers were very expensive, but I think what I get from my dad and from my grandfather also is that they study a lot. They like to learn a lot, right? So they are engineers. Both of them are civil engineers. And even they don't stop there, right? My grandfather finished a law degree and he also finished econ degree. So he has multiple degrees, right? And so my dad now is also studying more after retirement. So I think I inherit that gene that we like to learn. Like we always like to learn. And initially when I started the journey, university and college time, I was good at programming, but I realized that, okay, it's not enough. Like I love other topics. I love chemistry. I love science in general, and YouTube was more popularly available. So a lot of videos were there. So I used to learn a lot of things. And then I realized that after university coming into Vietnam, I was becoming like a jack of all, right? I know everything. I know a lot of topics in a lot of industries. So the next 5, 10 years were mostly focusing on one and building that as a strength, which is, let's say, software development or product development. I focused on that. And now I can still tap into those resources that I have that, hey, if I want to get into biotech, I do know enough to get into a biotech product. If I want to get into a marketing tech, I know enough about digital marketing and Google Analytics and Google Tag Manager, App Store marketing, stuff like that. If I want to get into, let's say, sales tech, I understand enough about like front-end sales and business B2B sales, B2C sales, and stuff like that. So it's good that I could like understand those domains and then apply my strength, which is like developing a good product. And then, as you see, like Vulcan is a very hardware-oriented startup. Like it has to make robotic arms. But then Fusing is a very software-oriented startup, which is like apps and web and CMS and data management and real estate projections and stuff like that, right? So the best of both worlds is like I can support both the businesses in a way that I understand both kind of capabilities, right? And so new things also come out of it. Like in case I want to build like a microphone that a salesperson can wear, and then it can always record what they are doing correct in their sales skill. It can only come if enough about hardware and if enough about software and if AI machine learning to interpret it. You understand? Yeah, I think at this juncture, I'm at a point where when I see a problem, I would have multiple ideas. And then I will rationalize it, work with the founders to drill down into what do they want to build, right? And if they can build a good business out of it, I will support them.
So as a founder yourself, also an entrepreneur yourself, when it comes to career-wise, what are some of the attributes that distinguish whether someone should embark or can embark on an entrepreneurship journey versus staying in employment? Yeah, what any career tips there or strategies there?
Yeah, in terms of working in a big corporate, I would say that I have not experienced it very nicely. Like I did work for Intel for a while and I understand, but then that was also an innovative space. So it's like I was always in a, like an entrepreneurial mode. And when I took an ISEC, like vocational extracurricular in university, it pushed you as a kid, you are made the vice president of exchange. Like the title is there and you have 10 members under you. And you're like, what am I going to do? I have 10 members. What do I train them? And then you talk to another vice president who's also a kid telling you, hey, you should do a lead development, like leadership development. You should do training like this. Hey, you need to train your staff members, your team members. And then another guy is a president. He's also a kid, 1 year older than me. And he tells me, hey, like you need to motivate them. You need to keep the leadership high. They are your next generation. When you leave, they will become vice presidents. Stuff like that, right? So you're suddenly learning so many things when you step out of your curricular activities. So that's why they call extracurricular, right? So I would suggest take these kind of vocational activities, even you are taking Toastmasters or stuff like that, like you are still going out, scouts and guides, stuff like that. If you're doing those kind of stuff, you are still going out, learning about presentation skills, about leadership skills. And I think every student should do that. I think in private schools, people are very lucky that it's pushed on them and they're encouraged to do that. But in public schools, maybe it's not so common. They are just taught the regular books and they are not pushed to do these extracurriculars. So I think that's something. And then once I came to Vietnam, I also saw that when I was recruiting people, even as interns, I see that they have 10 jobs already before. I say, hey, you are third year university. How do you have 10 jobs before? Like, how did you switch? And I say, oh, I started in my first year. I worked in 7-Eleven. Then I worked in Circle K. Then I moved into this. Then I moved into this. 3 months, 3 months, 6 months, 6 months. I could judge them immediately. But then I also step back and I see, hey, as a young kid, they are trying it. They don't like it. They're moving. So that's a good thing. So then I tap into what is your key skills. But what I see here is that they are eager to learn. They are eager to do more jobs and they're not restricted with their school. Their school is still 3.5 GPA, 3 GPA, but they have so much more experience outside. So I would prefer them over like candidates who have done 4 but have no understanding about what is the real world, like what is a manager, what does things feel like in real life, right? So my advice would be during university time, if you can do extracurriculars, if you want to do a job, please do it. Gain that experience because that builds confidence. I would call that builds your depth in your character, right? Or else you are mostly surface. And with this all ChatGPT and stuff, people can prepare the answers and just speak it. It's all surface, like there's no depth to their character anymore.
All right, I would like to bring it back to you and your career. You've done so many things, and obviously, I'm sure you have plans for so many more in the future. But what would you think is your most important career decision to date?
Career decision, I think the biggest will be coming to Vietnam. I think so. Because I was placed in Wipro, TCS, like big companies in India, and I got an offer letter. At that time, it was good money. It was decent money. Move to another city and do programming, coding, which parents are happy. Oh, I have a software engineer, I have an electronics engineer. India is very happy. Everyone's happy if they're engineer, right? But I chose to come to Vietnam, which was like my parents had to research, like, what is this country at that time? Like, Vietnam now is a very popular destination in India and all over the world for tourism, and people know. But at that time, people like, oh, do they still have war? Where is this country? Is it part of near China or something like that? No understanding of geographical or historical relevance of the country. And so for them to let me go was like, okay. Are you sure? When will you come back? 1 year you will come back? Okay, then you just go, like something like that. But for me, it was like a big thing. Okay, leave all those jobs and secure stuff, stay with the family and come here. So I think biggest career decision was that. And fortunately or unfortunately, I'm still here, right? It's already 12 years. I recently got married to a Vietnamese, so I have 10 more years,
Congratulations.
at least 10 more years of life building here. Thank you very much. Yeah, so I think biggest career as well as life decision. I think this is the most I have lived in any city, like even compared to India, because my dad had a transferable job, so I always stayed 5 years, but I'm here for 12 years. But also, I think understanding business acumen, starting a startup, running it for 10 years is also a very big career decision. What I learned is commitment. What I learned is like I am a person who will give my all. And I will be committed to that all. And there were many instances like COVID was there, economic issues were there in the company and in the economy also. But we held it through and we built something good, something relevant that people love, people cherish. And I think that's one of the biggest decisions of my life to also pursue with Husing and starting that company and building it. It also gave me the confidence, like earning for yourself is easy. But earning for like 100 other people and giving their families a source of income is difficult to maintain that. And so once I did that, I felt more happier.
You just mentioned about when you got the ISEC internship in Vietnam and you had a good job in software engineering in India and you gave it up for this internship. Like, what was it about that opportunity that meant you left a pretty comfortable life the son probably your parents were expecting to grow, and then you did make that complete change. What was it about that opportunity that made you decide that was the way you were going to go with it?
Yeah. I think the decision was coming from being in something unknown. Like one of the life philosophies I actually have is, in case we know, if we want to learn something, if we want to learn, or let's say if you want to learn swimming, right? You could read a book for 6 months or 1 year, but maybe you might still not be able to swim properly. The second option is you can ask someone, hire someone and tell them, hey, can you come and swim with me and teach me? Maybe I will learn it in 2-3 weeks. Actually, I learned it last year. So 2-3 weeks. But for me, I feel that the third case, where you jump into the swimming pool, not as a kid, as a grown up, and you will figure it out. You will figure it out and you will start swimming in the first session itself. So for me, if I wanted to learn something new, I would just jump into it. And then I will figure it out. And I think that is the life philosophy I do have. And I think if someone would like to learn something from this, try this. Go and just do it. Don't worry too much. So the worst case is you will come back, right? You will come back and you will do it, right? And you have your skill sets, right? Like I realized that for my sake or other things, like I'm very good at teaching. I'm very good at facilitating. So if I had to do like teaching or coaching and stuff, facilitating, I might earn, I think, better money than when I started in another company. Right. So I always had that backup in case I have some skill sets. So keep those as a kind of like cushion for your mind, because you will always be afraid. Like when you're going to jump into a pool, you will be like, oh man, what if I drown? So make sure that you have a life jacket nearby, or you're wearing it, or you ask someone to keep an eye on you, like something like that. Then you jump, right? So have your backing, have your cushion, but then just jump and you will learn. You will learn how to swim slowly, gradually, and you can build up. It doesn't mean that you don't read the book. It doesn't mean that you don't ask someone to help you. But that excuse that, oh, I should do this all before I do this, I don't think that makes any progress in life. Like, it's too slow. And so many variables in life. Like when we are growing, like 33, I'm now 33. And when you are growing, like you realize, oh, life will not be, it's not permanent, right? And there's so many factors. Health is there, parents are there, stuff is there, like, and nothing is permanent. So we should be able to maximize our 50 years or 70 years on earth as much as possible. And so wasting time to think about, like, when will I learn? When will I make this decision? Is it okay or not? I think it doesn't, even you are early, 20 to 30, just experiment as much as you can. I think so.
I managed to catch you mentioning this 2 times to 3 times in our short conversation. You mentioned that life is really short. And I believe that is what gives you the drive to keep going, or hustling, if you call it. But I'm just wondering, how did that come about, that realization that life is short, our time here is not permanent, and we have to do something meaningful? Yeah, is there an incident that happened that makes you shook you up?
That's a way. Yeah, it taps into something very personal recently. But yeah, like this is very like a small. Maybe it sounds like a small thing, but we just got married, me and my wife, and we had a dog. And one day, it just had an accident. Like someone, like some dog, just came and bit it, and it died on the same day. And we buried it, like burned it, burned the dog, and cremated. Everything is done in 5 hours. And so something that started in the morning as a very happy incident, hey, let's take the dog for a walk, like needs to pee, to poop. It's very normal. And then 7 hours later, it's a completely 180, right? And that kind of grief, it shook me a little bit. Because I didn't experience grief, both my wife. And I think that also made me like, I would not say this is the main motivation from the beginning, but this is one of the things that I am adding it to my persona, is that just do the things. Just do the things you love. Also love the people that are near you and close to you, because again, like, time's short, right? Forges all the ideas that I have even stronger. This incident, it makes it more stronger. But I would not say that this is one of the key reasons why I did stuff. Like, I think that the core philosophy would be like, okay, take the risk early, and nothing to lose. I think that will be my core philosophy. And then this thing enforces that whole philosophy more.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It reinforced what you've been thinking all along. I want to know, Akshay, what's next for you?
This is a question I ask myself a lot also. Like sometimes I think that maybe I will become an investor so that I can find so many amazing ideas and like I can be part of it, guide those kids or those young people to make changes. Yeah, I think investor would be a good option, but also like an angel investor or venture builder investor where that I'm more in the game and I can support, like not I don't want to be like, oh, I want to double my money or 10 times my money, which should be there, the business mindset. However, I want it to be more encouraging the entrepreneur and building a product that is useful for the society, right? So investor might be a good thing in a few years. But apart from that, I think like consulting different businesses from different domains, I think this is something that I really enjoy. So I would like to do that, pursue that, and figure out like maybe I can help them develop some products. I can build a team to like studio that can support them. So I think that might be a next good step. And I think that at this phase of life where we are 30 to 40, I think we should build these kind of products, like not product, like these kind of systems that are giving you the space to do what you want to do. And with enough experience, if you have done from 20 to 30 years, you can take those decisions after 30, right? So 30 to 40 is building that systems in place. So that I know the next phase will be taking care of children and teaching them and growing them. So you need time for that. And so these systems need to be there to give you that time in personal life. And in terms of growth, I think career growth, I think working on different ideas and domains will give the best to all the partners. Yeah.
I want to know too, what's the best piece of career advice you've ever been given?
Best piece of career advice. I think that the one that I mentioned, like where the jumping in the pool part is
Yep.
also like somewhere I heard and I took it. That was the best one, I think so. But apart from that, I think like someone saying that don't do it, that you might fail. Don't do this thing because you might fail is the worst advice I think that you can get. So I can add like the worst advice.
Yeah.
If someone is telling you to do some not do something because you're going to fail, I would say just go and do it and fail. Because if you fail, you learn 10 times more than if you succeed. If you succeed, you never know what is the reasons that you could have failed, right? If you're getting a chance to fail, I think it's good to do that. I failed a lot. Like I told you, right? I didn't choose Vietnam. I failed 13 times in my first interview to go abroad, right? So I failed in Egypt. I failed in Indonesia. I applied for Finland. I applied for Iceland, which I even didn't know that I would survive. I'm a vegetarian. Like, how can I go to Iceland and survive there for 1 year, right? I could have chosen any one of these and I failed. And even my roommates were telling me like, hey, why are you applying? You failed already 10 times already. What the hell are you doing? Just go and do your corporate job
Just
that
give
you
up
got already.
already.
They were like, you are wasting the space. Like the company came to you, the university campus, you gave an interview, you got selected. Some other unlucky guy did not get selected, and you are wasting it by not going into that. But again, like these kind of things, like I think it didn't stop me. I think the important thing was like, okay, I failed. What did I learn from it? I learned a lot about Iceland. I learned a lot about Egypt. I learned a lot about Indonesia. I did research. I understood the market. And doing that reporting, doing that understanding is also a lot of things like that helped me today to prepare proposals for a client, right? Because you have to do the research. You have to understand the client in advance completely. What are the things that can go wrong? Talk to the employees over there, understand what is their key issues or customers there, what are their key issues, right? So somewhere or the other, these small things, failures, they still contribute to what I do today and makes me different. Yeah. So I would say that go out and get failures as much as you can. Even in
Yeah.
my personal life, like I think I proposed to my wife like multiple times and she said, no, not now. No, not now. I don't give up. Like it's okay. It will come.
When the time
So
is right, it will come. And
yeah.
I have a bit of a similar philosophy. I say that nothing you do in life is wasted. Like Everything does make sense. It fits in somewhere there, and all of those experiences of being unsuccessful, like you said, you learned as you went along. So I totally know where you're coming from there.
It's
Sam,
a
we've got.
core philosophy. Like, I think even with the new tech products like ChatGPT or other things, why are they so strong? Because they remember your past experiences. If you don't look at your past experiences, you are not going to build something good. So I think that this is like a core philosophy for technology as well as human. So very important.
Sam, do you
Thank
have
you
any
so
final
much.
question for Akshay?
No, I just think it's really fascinating. Thank you for sharing so much personal stuff as well as your insight. But I guess one last question before we wrap it up is, what inspires you? Because in your journey, you will meet a lot of rejection and you are constantly problem solving, right? And what do you do? Who do you turn to, or what do you turn to for inspiration?
For inspiration, I find inspiration from the impact that I see, right? So if let's say I'm working with founders, if I see them happy, whether it's money coming to them or whether it's customers coming to them or whether they are very happy with the results, like if I see them happy, that inspires me, right? Because in the end, I think you can make money in many ways, but like in the end, it should be something that makes you satisfied, make you feel happy. And I think in every aspect of my life, I want the people that I support to be more happy, like more happier than when I met them. And I think that keeps me motivated. And I think that I think some things like people said, what will people remember on the day that you pass away? I want them to remember me as that person. Hey, this guy unconditionally always helped us and helped me a lot in my career, in my life, in my business, in my personal life. And that's something that I think I would be very happy if I have some people there saying that. Yeah.
A great place and a great question to end up on. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about, Akshay, before we finish?
Yeah, I would just add that don't like people should who are early in their career, they should not worry about like too much what will happen or whether they have made the decision or not. In their life, I see a lot of people like students lost, like they don't know, they just chose business because parents told them to or relatives told them to, so they don't like it that much. It's okay, just study, finish your graduation. I think graduation teaches you to be complacent, to be disciplined, to be able to make a plan and pursue it and then win it, right? Like when you graduate, you won because you were persistent and you were consistent. So finish your graduation, whatever the reason. It doesn't matter the grades and stuff. You pursued, you did best, and you got what you could do best. I think that's what you learn from it, tests and exams. And then after that, during that time, try to experiment. And then after that, you choose a job where you can give your best, right? If you're doing good, people will appreciate it. If you are not cheating, if you're not like cutting corners, people would really appreciate it. And then don't give an opportunity to learn. Right. If someone is teaching you, like whenever someone teaches me something, I am like greedy. I will try to learn everything they know. So be like that. Like I think Steve Jobs said, be hungry, be foolish. And I think that's very good. Be greedy, be learn it. And then build up on that. Don't shy away from things, especially in this kind of market where like AI is taking over everything and doing all the things. Don't shy away from things. They are simple courses, they are simple things. Now the world is so connected. Learn free courses, learn new languages. And if you get the chance to work abroad, just do it because it might end up teaching you something new and actually starting a new universe, right? What I have been doing in Vietnam, if I would have not come here, I would be doing it in Indonesia or in Iceland. So yeah, just go abroad if you can. Yeah, if you can. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time today. We really enjoyed hearing all your personal philosophies and some great advice there, particularly for current students about the mindset around embarking on careers. Sam, did you have a la last word to say?
I would have to say thank you so much. It's been a very privileged session for me to listen to whatever that you have shared. I am also being very greedy. I hope that I can learn from you as long as I can, but I'm well aware of time and I appreciate you dedicating the 1 hour for us. And I hope we stay in touch. Yeah, perhaps in the
Sure.
future we could, any form of collaborations, right? Yeah.
Sure. Cool. Nice to
Yeah.
talk to you,
Thanks for your
Felicity. Thank
time.
you,
Nice to
Sam.
talk to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a good
Thank
day.
you so
Bye-bye.
much.
Good luck with
You
the
too.
future.